Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. It's 8:15 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Welcome to our second hour of Galesburg Live on this Saturday morning. I'm Will Stevenson, host of Galesburg's Evening News, weeknights 5 to 6. I'll also be with you with Galesburg Live next Saturday morning as well. Glad to be here periodically hosting this program, and I'm really glad to do this hour because I like talking to people who are doing new things and publishing new books and doing things like that. And one of those is Jeannie Hanna. She is, you may know the name if you're in the Abingdon area. She spent a long time as a librarian at Heading Grade School. She also worked for a couple of years at Gale School here in Galesburg before retiring. And once she retired, she put together her first children's book called Laughable, Lovable Lessons Learned in the Library. And Jeannie is here with us now. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Will, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm very glad to have you because the subject matter of this book, I think, is fantastic. And we were just talking off the air about how you did it. And I think we'll get into that again as the hour goes on here. But first of all, let me have you kind of go back through your resume, if you will, even though I just did. Arguably, I would say this book was probably created based on your 20-plus years in the Abingdon School District, correct?
Yes, most of the stories came from my 23 years as the elementary librarian at Heading Grade School in Abingdon. And following those years, I went to Gale School in Galesburg and worked as an aide in the special education department.
From your years as a librarian, I know that probably was probably the basis for a lot of what's in your book here. The idea, and I talk about this a couple of times with other library folks, the library, I think, even with all the technology around, is still probably just as important as it has been, and especially a school library, wouldn't you say?
I think so, yes. I don't have enough good to say about libraries, and the school ones are great. Everyone that I've met that works in the school libraries in the Abingdon or Galesburg districts do a great job.
What was it like running the library at Heading for all those years? You were, what, 23 years, you said?
It was for 23 years, okay. From 1987 to 2011. It was just fun, and it was sort of like being a mom, which was, you know, that's what I did the 10 years before, was being a full-time mom. But one day was never like the next. Lots of surprises. And it was work that I loved. You know, I loved the cataloging books and taking care of the library, too. But the time with the kids was really the most fun for me.
And probably different than just being a traditional teacher in a school, right?
I think so, yes. And in our case, anyway, I got to know all. We had about 300 kids in the grade school at that time.
Wow,
so
yeah.
I got to know all of them over the years. And instead of just one classroom, and that's fun, too.
I imagine the kids really, I know it was that way for me when I was a kid. And then later, my first job in high school was at a library. The kids really got excited when it was, when they got their chance to come to the library and pick out a book or read a story or whatever, didn't they?
They did. And I think in Heading, the most favorite thing for them, kids that have graduated and they're like, do you still do puppet shows? We had 150 hand puppets. We only did puppet shows about once each quarter because that's all I could handle, two straight weeks of puppet shows. But I let them come up five at a time, pick anyone they wanted. And it was really hard sometimes to come up with a story off the top of my head to go with the combination of animals they picked out.
That's so cool, though. And then you went on to Gale after that, and you worked with special education students?
Right, right.
What was that experience like?
Oh, it was fun, too. My first year there was spent in a kindergarten classroom with Christy Tapper, and I think kindergarten and preschool, it's really, the younger they are, the more fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the more challenging, but just fun and funny. And then I had 1 year in a room that was all special ed kids. And then my last 2 years were with a darling little girl in Mrs. K's, Mrs. Kokersberger's classroom.
What was that experience like in terms of it being different than being a school librarian all those years?
Well, part of it, when I was in the library for 23 years, I was pretty much in charge of myself.
Yeah.
You know, I set my own schedule and I made my own plans and that. And so when you're working as an aide in a classroom, you follow along and the teacher does the hard work. And so that was different, not having the responsibility that I had before. But you still get to interact with the kids a lot, so it was still just as much fun.
Imagine just as rewarding, too, wasn't it?
Oh, very rewarding. It was.
When you decided it was time to retire, was it hard to kind of walk away from that?
It was a mixed bag of emotions on that. I love the little girl that I was with, and I probably could have gone on through grade school with her. But at the same time, you know, it was getting harder and harder to keep up with her and, you know, do the things required to be a good aide for her. And I thought the break between kindergarten and first grade would be a good time for both of us.
Sure. So you went on to retire in 2015, and it wasn't long before you got to that point where you decided it was time to write a book.
Well, I had kind of put it away. I literally had an envelope full of all the sticky notes, lunchroom napkins, torn off pieces of typing paper, whatever, that I had written these down on, just kept stuffing them in there. And my daughter came home. Well, all our kids were home at Thanksgiving time. And my oldest daughter, Tara, said, "When are you going to write that book?" And so I started thinking about it a little more strongly, and it came about.
Well, and that's a good point where we'll take a break. I want to talk about how you started collecting all those items that ended up being in the book, and we'll move on from there when we come back. We're talking with Jeannie Hanna. She has authored Laughable, Lovable Lessons Learned in the Library, and we'll continue our conversation about that book and how that came to be next on Galesburg Live.
WGIL.
Good morning. It's 8:24 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Live continues. I'm Will Stevenson. We are talking with Jeannie Hanna, a longtime librarian in Abingdon and then employee of District 205 after that. She retired a few years ago and then created the book Laughable, Lovable Lessons Learned in the Library. So you, between your two jobs, Jeannie, you started hearing some of the, how shall I say, unusual things that you described this as, and I did earlier, as kids say the darndest things, and that's really kind of how it came about, isn't it?
That's exactly right. It's a book about kids, but not necessarily for kids. I've got a little spoiler alert in the introduction that says, you know, especially if kids are still in tune with holiday fantasies, in order to avoid premature understanding of such important people as Santa, the Easter Bunny, and the Tooth Fairy,
yeah,
probably good not to read it to your children.
No, I imagine not. So you spent all these years, as you mentioned before the break, writing these things that they said down on every possible piece of notepaper you had. What led you to start doing that?
Well, I used to go after choir practice on Wednesday nights and spend an hour or so at my parents' house down the road. And my mother especially loves kids' stories, just funny things that they do. And I just had a wealth of them from my work at the school. And I just jot them down so I wouldn't forget to share them with Mom and Dad on Wednesday nights. And she was probably my biggest cheerleader. She'd say, "You should write a book. You should write a book with all these. It'd be like that Art Linkletter book. Kids say the darndest things." And that's kind of what happened.
So the first, do you recall the first time you did that, the first time you wrote down something that a kid said?
Oh, no. I really don't. But it got to the point where it was sort of a joke around school, because I shared some of the best stories at lunchtime with the teachers and staff.
Uh-huh.
And I'd say, you know, my mom says I need to write a book when I retire. So if you have any good stories, share them. And they would start popping into the library after they got their kids on the bus and say, hey, I've got a story for your book.
So it really wasn't entirely things that you heard the kids say. It was really what everybody heard the kids say, right?
It's a mixture. There are several teachers from Heading who have contributed several stories in there. And a couple stories are about teachers that have passed on since, but just things that I remember them telling over the years.
What finally made you decide to pull the trigger and kind of compile this into a book? Was it just all that pressure that your family and your friends were giving you, or was it just as simple as, you know what, I need something to do?
It was kind of the fulfillment of an obligation. I just felt like I've been talking about this for 27 years. I probably ought to do it.
You really had 27 years worth of notes?
I did.
No kidding.
And you would not believe the mess they were. It was just in a big envelope, every color, sticky note, lunchroom napkins, typing paper, copy paper, anything.
Yeah, I was going to say that seems crazy to me that at some point you didn't have like a notepad that you started walking around with or something, that these ideas would come to you. And
yeah, I'm usually a little more organized than this, but I just thought, you know, I just kind of started cramming them in this envelope when they got to piling up, and I never moved them from there.
Yeah,
until
why mess with a good system, right?
There you go. There you go.
Did all of them end up being used in the book, or did you have to select some? And what was kind of that process like?
I think I used everyone that was in there. And there was a get-together of Heading teachers a couple summers ago, and mm-hmm. I was mentioning the idea that I really ought to start working on this book. And sitting around a table at a winery somewhere near Peoria, I got several more stories that day that the teachers shared. I wish I had.
Wineries are good for that.
Yeah, they are. There, lots of good stories came out that day.
Yeah, I'm sure. I was going to. We have about a minute before we need to take another break here. But how did you end up coordinating them? Is it just quote after quote after quote, or did you? Are there stories behind some of the quotes? Is it a mixture of that?
My kids kept saying, well, when are you going to write this book? And I said, I just don't know how to organize it. It's got to have chapters. So when I sat down, I finally made up, you know, I would read a few and try and figure out what would be a good name for that chapter. And I came up with 9 different chapters. So everyone that I pulled out of the envelope, I tried to decide which chapter that it would fit into best.
I want to talk more about that process of putting together the book after our break here. We need to break for news and weather once again with Nick Isher. And when we come back, we'll talk more about Laughable, Lovable Lessons Learned in the Library, authored by Jeannie Hanna. It's her first book. And we'll talk about the book, and we'll talk about book signings she has coming up around the area starting next week. So stay tuned.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
It is 8:35 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good morning again. So glad you're with us this morning for Galesburg Live. I'm Will Stevenson with you this week. I'll also be here next Saturday morning for Galesburg Live. Next Saturday at 7 a.m., by the way, Carl Sandburg College President Lori Sundberg will join me in what I'm hoping is her last interview before, hopefully she doesn't talk to anybody else, before she leaves to take the reins of a community college system in Iowa at the end of June. So she'll join us in the 7 o'clock hour next Saturday morning here on the program. So listen in for that. But stay tuned now, because we're continuing a conversation with Jeannie Hanna, a longtime librarian in Abingdon and a retired Galesburg District 205 employee as well. She has authored Laughable, Lovable Lessons Learned in the Library, based on all the things kids said and her dealings with kids over the years, and others she worked with as well. She wrote them all down on various pieces of note paper, shoved them in an envelope for years, and then decided to dump out the envelope and put put that together in a book. So what was that process like, kind of picking and choosing and that sort of thing? We talked a little bit about that before the break, but was that kind of how you expected that might go? And did you end up not throwing in the towel necessarily, but kind of throwing out a call for help in order to kind of organize the book here?
Well, after I got the chapters figured out, each piece of little paper or napkin that I'd take out, I'd decide into which chapter it would fit best. And I remember a long time people would say, well, are you ever going to write that book? And I said, well, I know how to write it. I don't think I'll have trouble writing it, but I don't know how to get it published. And there was a cousin on the Hannah side who is an author, and she used a self-publishing company out of Indianapolis. So after I talked to her and heard nothing but good and bought her book and was very impressed with its quality, that's where I decided to take it for publishing.
Was the self-publishing option, was that the only option for you, or did you look at other options for publishing? I imagine this probably had to be the way to do it to get the book the way that you wanted it, right?
I really didn't look into other options. I know books that I've read, you know, you get the manuscript, you print it up, and you send it to publishers, and you wait 10 years to hear back from them. And I didn't think I had that kind of time. I liked the self-publishing idea. And the only thing was, I was under the misguided conception that I would send a typed manuscript. And when I found out that Dog Ear is the name of the publishing company out of Indianapolis, they wanted it submitted digitally. And I thought, oh, I'm sunk, because I am not a tech-savvy person. Yeah. But my computer man has a wonderful wife who's become a good friend, and she went into my computer, put everything in order, and sent it in digitally in about a month's time.
So it sounds like it was maybe a daunting task at first, but once you got the right people in your corner, it became less daunting.
That's exactly right. This book was written at my dining room table, and I would pull those scraps out at my dining room table and read them and just crack up again at remembering the story that I had written.
Almost forgot that you were trying to write a book here, right?
Yes, it was fun. When I say it was fun, it absolutely was fun. And the only other thing I wanted to say about the lady who put it together for me to submit it, she did not take a penny for her time and trouble.
That's
because
great.
She found out that the profit is going to St. Jude. And
that's
when she
great.
Learned that, she said, nope, I just want to be part of this project.
That's amazing. And I think we're getting close to that time of year where the St. Jude telethon comes up and the runners start running and that sort of thing. So how perfect you're doing this now, for sure. Why St. Jude?
I've just known several little people, or known of them. There were one little guy in the kindergarten class at Gabe Peterson, went there.
Yeah.
And had very good results. He's doing fine. And then I know of a couple other people who have been there. And it's just such a relief for their families when they can concentrate on their child and not have to worry about the payments.
Was that important to you when you were putting together this book, that you have something to do with the proceeds, that you weren't just trying to make a buck here?
Exactly. I think all through my lifetime, my mom is 90, and she has contributed to St. Jude for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like you're raising a family, you're working, and you just don't get around to doing things. You make a random contribution here and there. But I thought, this is my chance to do something really good for other people that are in need.
That's great. That is fantastic. And we'll talk a little bit more later on about how you can get the book and some book signings coming up. So listen in for that. Jeannie, talk about the chapters and kind of that process and how you put together what you put together and the kind of the order it's in here.
Okay. I did a dedication and an introduction, and then the first chapter is called Problem Solvers, and it's the way some of these little people went about solving some of their dilemmas at school.
That's probably, having a younger niece and a nephew, it's really kind of funny at times, and I contend that my niece and nephew are two of the most hilarious people I know. But it's really kind of fun, isn't it? Kind of watching their minds work when it comes to problem solving, isn't it?
They are, and sometimes they're totally off. But when you think about it, their logic makes sense. It makes perfect sense. Chapter 2 is called Assumptions, things that they think they understand, but they really don't. But again, it kind of makes sense. Chapter 3 is just called Sweetness. And there were just some little things I wrote down that little kids would, one little girl on her way out the door the last day of school, she was almost teary, and she said, "Mrs. Hannah, I'm going to miss you in the books this summer." And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, how sweet that she loves me as much as her books. And I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
I have chapter 4 is Blunt Questions. Chapter 5 is Isn't It Obvious? Chapter 6 is the one you got to watch out for, How Rude. I wouldn't, these are the kids that had no filter, that just blurted out. And sometimes it's things they heard at home. Chapter 7 is Exaggeration, and Chapter 8 is Things That Teachers Should Not Have to Point Out, and Chapter 9 is My Funny Family.
I want to talk about that last chapter in a second, but the chapter before that, Things Teachers Should Not Have to Point Out. Give me an example of something that happened there and what that's about.
There was a little boy in the kindergarten class the last year or two that I worked with Mrs. K. And the first story that comes to mind is this little boy on Valentine's Day just must have been overcome with joy and happiness, and he went around the table licking his friends.
Oh,
and
geez.
Mrs. K had to kind of separate him out a little bit and say, "We do not lick our friends."
Yeah, licking
gross.
Is not okay. Yeah.
It is not, even on Valentine's Day.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I've heard of stories like that, but I've never actually seen it happen. And you know, sometimes maybe I should just continue to hope that all I've done is heard about it.
But. Oh, visit a school for a week. Any teacher you know has stories just like this.
Yeah, that's very true. So, and that kind of speaks to how, as you said at the beginning, how some of the teachers had really helped you out with sharing their unusual stories like that.
Right, right. I had teachers come in after school. My library was the last room right before they took their kids out to the buses in the afternoon. And it got to be almost a weekly thing.
Yeah.
Someone would pop in after their kids were on the bus and they'd say, "Hey, I've got a story for your book." So a lot of the really good ones. And you'll know when you read them, it'll be like, I identify the teachers as Mrs. S. I changed all the kids' names because I couldn't get their permission.
Mm-hmm.
But I used, you know, their title and their last initial to identify the teachers.
You ask for permission, they might want to come up and lick you.
We can't
have that.
It's not allowed at Gale School, I know that.
No, it's certainly not. It shouldn't be, really. What was, in your time, what was the most, if you know of one, the most unusual thing that you heard a kid say or the most unusual experience you had with a kid?
Probably my favorite one from school was I made up a game called Story or Nursery Rhyme, and I tried to find out how much they actually had been read to at home. And I was out of questions for the first grade class, so I went on to higher questions. And there was one on The Wizard of Oz, and I thought, they've all seen this on TV. So
yeah.
I said, okay, here's a question. If you ever watch The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy and Toto are going down the yellow brick road. Who's the first character that they met that went along with them? Totally blank faces. Nobody had a clue. I said, okay, I'll give you a hint. So I put my arms out to the side, and I kind of lolled my head to the side, and I said, he was hanging in a field like this. And this little boy in the back jumped up and said, Jesus! And I said,
close.
Well, Jesus was hanging in a field, but he wasn't in The Wizard of Oz. So that's one of my all-time favorites.
Excuse me, by the way, I've been, as some of our listeners know, I've been battling a cold all week, and I think I'm on the back side of it, but now I'm but it's on the most annoying end of it now. So I'm sorry, I forgot to turn off my microphone there.
That's okay.
But for those of you who don't know, I believe we're talking about the Scarecrow.
Yes, that's right.
But the Tin Man wasn't hanging out in a field, was
no,
he?
No, he was too stuck.
He was just a passerby at some point.
<That's right.
laughs> Yeah, try to explain that one, I would guess. But let's take a break here. We are talking with Jeannie Hanna. She authored Laughable, Lovable Lessons Learned in the Library, and you just heard a couple of examples of how kids truly do, as the saying and as the show goes, say the darndest things. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll talk about how you can get the book and some book signings that Jeannie has planned in just a couple of minutes. It is 8:46. You're listening to Galesburg Live with Jeannie Hanna. I'm Will Stevenson on WGIL. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll be right back.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
.851 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. The final few minutes of Galesburg Live for this Saturday morning. I'm Will Stevenson. So glad you're with us this morning. We will have this conversation and my conversation in the 7 o'clock hour with Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson available in the on-air conversation section of the front page of WGIL.com not long after the program ends this morning. So if you missed any part of this, we'll have it available there. We are talking with Jeannie Hanna, author of Laughable, Lovable Lessons Learned in the Library, more or less a compilation of stories and sayings from some of the funnier things kids said over her years at heading grade school and later at Gale School here in Galesburg. So give me maybe another idea or two of some of the things that folks might find in the book.
In the last chapter, it's entitled My Funny Family.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because while this was mostly student-based, there's a lot of funny in your family too, isn't there?
That's right. That's right. And when I think back, one of my favorite ones of our son Joe, we had twins in 1982, and
wow.
one daughter was fine, preemie. They were both early, but the other daughter was stillborn.
Oh wow!
And we were advised to be honest with our children, tell them everything. So every night at prayer time, we would always include little Diana in heaven in our prayers. And one night when Joe was about three, he said, "How did Diana get to heaven? Did she climb a beanstalk?" And we're like, "Well, honey, we don't really know how she got there, but we know she's there because God has special powers, and we know that she's there." And he's like, "Who has more powers, God or Superman?" just that's how they think, you know.
And well, sometimes God passes his power to Superman.
Right, there you go.
But that speaks to what you were saying earlier about really it kind of explores how the mind of a child tends to work, right?
Oh, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. They just, you know, or a lot of times there are stories in the book where they think they know what you're saying, but they have to substitute words that they do actually know.
Yeah.
We were going to have an assembly at school, and I had told the kids, I said, "Now, the principal and Mrs. Hanna will both all be watching carefully, and we want you to be good listeners and make us proud."
Mm-hmm.
And this little guy started whispering to his neighbor little girl, and she said, "Shh, we'll get in trouble by the princess bowl." And so, you know, that's what she interpreted. I don't know if she had a vision in her head of a tiara on a bowl when she thought of the principal, but
yeah, you never know.
Right.
Give me maybe another example or two of things you'll will find in the book here. I'm fascinated by how you arranged out these chapters for sure.
Well, there's one on page 44. It came from a teacher talking about her little girl who went to a babysitter, and the babysitter was, you know, just trying to find out what the little girl knew about math so far. And she's like, "Okay, Katie," she said, "let's do some numbers. What comes after one?" Katie said, "Two." She said, "What comes after two?" She said, "Three." And the babysitter said, "Well, what comes after three?" She said, "A spanking." I mean, you have to think about it for a minute, but it makes perfect sense because after three comes a spanking sometimes.
You can't argue with that.
That's right. That's right. And just funny little things they would say. One day, you know, I had an armadillo puppet that I bought, and that's not something you're going to see in the Midwest a lot.
No.
And this younger class came in, and this little girl picked up the armadillo puppet, and she says, "Hey, look, a rabbit in a turtle shell." I'm like, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
that's what it looked like
it
to her.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. And a little boy in kindergarten one day came in, and he said, "Mrs. Hanna, my nose is all plugged up, and I had to have one of those water things in my room last night." And I said, "A humidifier?" He said, no, it doesn't have fire. It just has water.
So, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Just, and this one little boy in the preschool, the teacher asked what his dad did for a living. And he said, well, he stays home and takes care of my grandma and his brother because they lost their marbles. And he's trying to help them find their marbles again. And I told him there's marbles at the dime store, but he won't take me there.
Yeah, there you go. It's one way of putting it, though, for sure, I guess. All right, let's talk about some particulars about where you can find the book. And the first, how much does it cost? And is there anywhere around here we can find it?
You bet. Part of the services that Dog Ear offers is putting the book online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Books A Million. And if you buy it there, the price is $10.95 for the paperback and $19.95 for the hardcover book. But I went to my tax lady and I thought, well, maybe since I'm giving all my profit to a nonprofit, I won't have to charge tax. And
well, she said, surprise.
Yeah, exactly. That's not the way. You made a product and you're selling it and the government wants the tax.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can call your local lawmaker to see if they can get that internet sales tax bill removed, but
sure.
I don't think that's going to happen in this case.
Oh, right. So I set up book signings and in the local libraries around, and so the tax rates are different in almost every town I'm going.
Yeah.
And so my tax person decided to figure the rate at the highest level that I'd be wherever I'd be.
Sure.
And then she rounded it up to the next even dollar. So if you buy from me, the paperbacks are $12 each and the hardbacks are $22.
Okay. And now you're in addition to online, as you mentioned, that's how you what the cost is if you buy the book in person from Jeannie, and you have some book signings starting a week from today, correct?
Correct. I do. And I've got to thank Jamie Beal at the Abingdon it's John Mosser Public Library mm-hmm. in Abingdon. She's the reason I'm here.
Yeah.
And she should be my publicist as well as my favorite librarian. Okay, so on Saturday, they're all on Saturday so far. Saturday, June 2nd, John Mosser Public Library in Abingdon from 10 to 1. Then 3 weeks later, Tompkins State Bank, the Abingdon branch, is on June 23rd from 9 to noon. 3 weeks later, Galesburg Public Library is on Saturday, July 14th from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. Knoxville Public Library is going to be on August 4th from noon to 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Warren County Public Library in Monmouth on the square is going to be August 25th from 2 to 4.
All right. Jeannie Hanna, author of Laughable, Lovable Lessons Learned in the Library. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. Congratulations on publishing your first book and best wishes getting it out there. This is a great book.
Thank you, Will. I enjoyed my time. You made this very easy and enjoyable. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Stay tuned. Today's Homeowner is next on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Have a terrific weekend. I'm off Monday night, but we'll see you Tuesday for Galesburg's Evening News. See you then.